All right, we're going to continue. We got one more sermon after this one to close out this series. After we got done going through the book of Acts and the book of Romans, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, God put this series on my heart to do before we moved on in the New Testament. Next week, I will close out this series with a sermon that's been on my heart now for weeks, still working on it. Today, I want to begin, as I have through this series, with my Christian creed so that no one can take out of context what this sermon is about. If I tell people that their belief system is wrong according to the Bible, I am told I'm not being a loving Christian. I'm intolerant, hateful, and judgmental. The Bible says this. Apostle Paul tells Timothy, charges Timothy, it's a military term, preach the word, pastor. Convince them of the truth of it. Rebuke where people err from it. Exhort them to follow Christ with all patience, long-suffering, and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will turn aside to fables and reject the truth. Fulfill your ministry, pastor. It's what the Apostle Paul is telling the young Timothy. God tells us to love everyone. Part of truly loving someone is sharing the truth of the only way to heaven, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that all are sinners in need of a Savior, that Jesus is the only way to the Father. I know it's not a popular message today, and it wasn't a popular message in Jesus' day either, but that did not stop him from sharing it and ultimately dying for it. I might be called a hater, a judgmental Christian, a narrow-minded bigot, and many other names for sharing the truth in love. It is part of being a Christian. Jesus told his followers that the world would hate them for his namesake. I choose to carry that cross and honor the one who died for me. I choose to truly love everyone by making sure I share with them the truths of the Bible, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his gospel. And with that, let's go to today's subject, which is humanism. Now, of all the false beliefs that we have looked at so far, this has got to be number one. Humanism has infiltrated almost every aspect of our lives. It has infiltrated most religions, including Christianity. Humanism stands in direct contrast to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In today's sermon, I'm going to highlight just two aspects of humanism. For a more in-depth look at humanism and how it infiltrates the church, you can listen to this week's broadcast of Jan Markell. Now, Jan Markell has a wonderful show. It's called Understanding the Times, and she interviews some of the best minds in Christian theology today in the church. And she posts her new show every Saturday morning. You can just Google this online, Understanding the Times, and it'll come up and you can listen to her shows. No cost. And this week, as I worked on this sermon and I finalized this sermon, and then Saturday mornings is usually the one morning me and Wendy can get together as a couple and sit down and have our coffee together. Most other mornings we can't get that done. But Saturdays is our morning to sit down with coffee, spend some time together. And one of the things we always do on Saturday is listen to Jan Markell. And this Saturday, I typed it up, and up it popped, and there it was, humanism. And I listened to this, and it was really some very, very good information. So after today, sometime this week, find a chance to listen to this show. But what I want to focus on today inside of humanism are like just two main areas. Let's begin with the definition of what humanism is. It's an outlook, system of thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or supernatural matters. Humanist beliefs stress the potential value and goodness of human beings, emphasizing common human needs and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. Humanity is the supreme authority and intelligence in a humanistic worldview. Atheism is the foundation of humanism. There is no God. Now, out of humanism, which has been around for a long time in many different shades and colors, but out of the modern humanism movement, a few things have come out that have really changed our society. Psychology is one of them. Now, I'm not a big fan of psychology. Psychology is based completely in atheism and humanism. That there is no outward help for what's wrong with mankind. That men and women have to look to inside themselves and fix it, what is wrong. In psychology, there is no room for the concept of God. Evolution has come from humanism. It is one of the greatest tools turning people away from the truths of the Bible. And all this has led to the promotion of secularism. Looking at the definition of humanism, I want to look at another simple word and the definition for that. And that word is fool. A person who acts unwisely or imprudently, a silly person. So what does this have to do with what we're talking about today? Well, not to be cruel, but just to be honest with what God's word says. Psalms 14 says this: the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This is how God sees those with a humanistic worldview. A fool. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. What God teaches about humanity is completely opposite of what humanism says. God says there is no good in humanity. All are tainted with the sin nature. Humanism says the exact opposite. God calls them a fool. But see, the humanists have a completely different understanding. They always do of what God says. The humanists don't see themselves as fools, but those who believe in God are fools. God directly calls them out on this attitude. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise of this world, that they are futile. We will see futile this morning as we analyze humanism. God is very direct and hard speaking on those who believe in humanism. So why is he so direct with this? Well, humanism is one of the greatest dangers to the world, to free societies. But according to humanism, those who believe in God are the real danger in the world. The charge of the humanists is that all the suffering, death, the wars, most of them, if not all of them, have been caused by people of faith. Faith in a God that does not exist. You'll hear in a video clip today an atheist blaming Hitler and Nazism on God, at least their belief in God. The humanists boast that their way of reason and logic promotes harmony. that those who believe in humanism have no cause to hate anybody. So if we all became humanists with their rationale and their worldview, there'd be no reason for war. This is not a new concept. It's been around for a long time, but I want to share a little tidbit here. You know when this thought of humanity and humanism and all of us getting along and all of us on the same road together and we have this great utopia, you know when it was first introduced to the American general public? With Captain James T. Kirk of the USS Enterprise. And I love Star Trek. I love James Kirk. I like the Star Trek New Generation. All of them, they're good shows. But when you watch them, there is humanism all through it. Evolution is all through it. And the concept that man, there is no God, just man. And if we could all get on that rationale, we'd all get together, and sooner or later there'd be no more wars, no more any suffering in the world, and we'd come together and we could become one, and there's nothing that man could not do, even explore the galaxy. Gene Roddenberry, creator of Star Trek, was a humanist. The humanists say they would never commit atrocities like those that are falsely attributed to the history of Christianity. However, that is not what actual history teaches us. I want to watch you watch a video here in a second of John Lennox. He is a mathematician, a philosopher of science, a Christian apologist, and a professor of mathematics at the University of Oxford. This man is brilliant. He's well respected all over the world. And he says that the humanists, the atheists, and their reinterpretation of human history is flawed. Go ahead and play this.
It seems to me the new atheists are very, very thin on their historical understanding. First of all, they want to make religion responsible for a great deal of violence and suggest that violence and cruelty lie at the heart of religion. But then simultaneously, they want to suggest that atheism had nothing to do with the atrocities of Pol Pot, Stalin, and Mao Zedong, to name three of the leaders of the most atheistic regimes that the world has seen. So they airbrush out 20th century history. And Richard Dawkins says he can't imagine an atheist who would destroy Chartres or any of the great cathedrals of the world. Well, that seems to be abysmal ignorance of what Stalin did in Russia. Thousands of churches razed to the ground and Christians persecuted and so on. So one of the things that concerns me about the new atheist take on religion and on atheism is that they're wrong on both counts, and they're wrong because of their very superficial attitude to history. Now, I expect them to be very negative towards theology, but to have such a shallow and inaccurate view of history strikes me as very dangerous.
Very dangerous indeed. How dangerous is humanism with its atheistic principles? I would put forth to you that history teaches us that humanism has caused great suffering and death in this world. Let me show you that. Go to the next slide. 20th century, just the 20th century. The communists, the Marxists, the socialists, and the fascist governments that have been around in the 20th century. From China to the old Soviet Union, Vietnam, North Korea, or Cambodia with Pol Pot, even Germany, and yes, they always say, well, Germany was Christian, Hitler was a Christian. No, he was not. A Christian is a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. That's how you can tell the fruit of a Christian. Are they obedient to the Word of God? If they are not obedient, the Bible says very clearly in multiple places If you're not faithful to what the Bible says, then the truth is not in you. You lie. Hitler did infiltrate the Christian church in Germany in the 1930s. Got many of the pastors to come over to fascism and Nazism, to forego the word of God. The ones that didn't, pastors that didn't, were arrested and murdered, like Bonhoeffer. Germany was based on, the final solution was based on evolution, survival of the fittest. The Jews and others were less of a life form than the Aryans. So survival of the fittest, it's okay to kill and destroy lesser life forms. Germany was based on great humanism because a human, Hitler himself, became their god. They prayed to Hitler. They sang worship songs to Hitler, calling him their Lord and Savior. The Bible got replaced in Germany with Hitler's Mein Kampf. But looking at these different examples of all humanistic governments, I want to show you a number of how many people these governments murdered in the name of their humanistic worldview. It's a big number. This number doesn't even include the people who died fighting wars against these governments. No, that number right there, 110 million, were people who died under these governments who had a different point of view than the humanist. Many being Christians. I bring out this statistic. Why? Inside of humanism, they say there's no danger. Well, there is. History shows us. How does humanism get to the point where they murder 110 million people? Well, that's what we're going to look at next. And it's based on one core belief inside humanism. And this belief is very dangerous to any free society. And as I go through this in the next couple of slides, you will see how it's affecting our society here in America. It's affecting you. This dangerous core belief in humanism that threatens any free society. And that core belief is called relativism. Relativism is the concept that points of view have no absolute truth or validity within themselves, but rather only relative, subjective value, according to differences in perception and consideration. The term often refers to truth relativism, which is the doctrine that there are no absolute truths. The truth is always relative to some particular frame of reference, such as language or a culture. No absolute truths in humanism. Basically, this is their concept. A concept that they betray themselves, and we will show that. What is true for you may not be my truth, but that's okay. We can all just live together in harmony with all our own truths. Sounds good, right? You think what you want. I'll think what I want. Nobody's wrong. We can all get along. Sounds good until reality sets in. Relativism has permeated all facets of our society. Education, government, criminal justice system, the news media, and then entertainment industry. Let me read you a statement from the American Humanist Society. Humanism is a progressive philosophy of life that without theism, without a belief in God, theo from the Latin for God, theism and other supernatural beliefs affirms our ability and responsibility to lead ethical lives of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good of humanity. Now, they consider themselves so rational in their thinking. Let me ask you something. If there's no absolute truths, they just quoted that. Morality is based on truth, what is right and what's wrong. There's a good and there's an evil, but there's no such thing anymore. No truth. So there is no absolute morality. So here in this statement, how does the humanist say we can lead ethical lives? Whose ethics? Whose ethics are they talking about? I mean, if they have a different set of ethics and I have a different set of ethics, they say we can all live together, but here's what they start to define what is truth. And they say we can lead ethical lives. If truth is relative, morality is relative. Who decides what is ethical in a society? If you have no transcendent morality, meaning outside of humanity, as in God says, this is good, this is not. If you don't have that, who gets to decide what is an ethical life? Well, I guess the humanist does, or whoever has the power in a society. Also, look how ethical lives are connected to personal fulfillment. So ethics are based on what? Personal desires and wants. Let me read you another statement they have. Humanists believe that man is the measure of all things, that morals are man-centered, not God-centered. Therefore, no one is entitled to determine right from wrong. And morality is best determined by what is good for today's culture. Secularists do not believe that mankind can have a set of permanent values such as taught in the Bible. Secularism pays lip service to tolerance and diversity, yet many times secularists are intolerant of those who look to the Bible as God's standard for morality. Isn't those some terms we hear today? Tolerance? Don't we hear that a lot? Coexist? Tolerance? Can't we all just get along? The only problem is the people that scream out tolerance the loudest do not seem to be tolerant of any other belief system but their own. Humanism promotes relativism. No one is entitled to determine right or wrong. Morality is determined by each individual or society. This way of reason has brought about issues today that we could have never, ever imagined we would have in our society. Since there are no rights and wrongs, and we make up what's right and what's wrong as we go, now we are dealing with things like it's okay for men to go into the women's bathroom. I got little girls, and I'm supposed to accept that if we're out in public somewhere and they need to go to the bathroom, that a man can go in there with them? Men now can go in female dressing rooms. It's insane. This is where humanism and relative truth get us. Start to endanger our children, start to endanger women. Here's another area. Instead of just two genders inside humanity, male and female, as God created them in the beginning, now we have a wide range of genders, consisting from the lowest category of just three, male, female, and neutral. Neutral is a gender now. From a category of 3, all the way up to a category of 68 different genders. 68 genders, depending on what group you want to listen to on the far left, of genders inside humanity. New York City has officially adopted 32 genders. And go in and look at the fines they will levy on a business in New York City if you discriminate against any of the 32 known genders. Relative truth, humanism, produces a society that cannot even condemn something as bad as the Nazis. I'm going to show you a video clip. It's about 5 minutes long, of a theist, a Christian, and an atheist, a humanist, debating objective reality, morality, and that it's relative. Go ahead.
David, you were just talking about leaving a kid in an orphanage rather than putting it with a gay couple is immoral. I thought you just told us that there is no such thing as objective morality. Is it immoral or you just don't like it?
No, I said it was no such thing as objective morality. I said all morality is relative.
So why are you objecting to somebody who doesn't want to put a kid with a homosexual couple then? Why are you objecting to that if there's no...
We have the right to object. We are always doing that, okay? We're always making these choices. It's not wrong to say that I'm making my independent choices, independent of any other book or any other holy book. We all make the same moral choices. I find it wholly immoral.
Oh, according to what standard? Your
according
own standard?
According to my standards,
oh,
yes.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Well, that's exactly the same way you do it.
Okay, well, but are you condemning somebody else for having a different relative standard than you?
No, I'm saying we all have to take responsibility for our moral judgments. We are all making those decisions in real time, just like you are.
Okay,
for the same reason that you're not going into Leviticus and saying, and let's kill the gays, that's immoral to you and me. We're making that relative moral decision. You're supporting your relative moral decision with makeup, with the Bible, with other Bible quotes that you're finding.
Yeah, but you're confusing the decision with the existence of a moral standard. You're saying that there is no moral standard, or there is a standard objective outside of humanity to which we should obey.
There is no objective moral standard. We are responsible for our own actions.
Responsible to who?
To ourselves and to our society.
Which society? Mother Teresa's or Hitler's?
The society in which we live.
Okay, so you...
Yes, this is not an easy question.
So at Nuremberg, then, we really had no right to convict the Nazis of obeying their government.
We, as a world society, judge our criminals, and we judge them as we see fit.
I know we judge them, so you're saying we just judge them based on our preferences. You know, in some cultures, they take care of their babies. In other cultures, they eat their babies. Which do you prefer?
I prefer the ones where they take care of the babies. But I also prefer the ones where the Nazis don't do terrible things under the name of God.
But it's just a preference.
Yes.
Okay, so you're...
It's an opinion.
Okay, well, if it's just an opinion, you're saying then... If it's just an opinion, I don't know why you condemn a Christian couple for not wanting to put a baby with a homosexual, because that's just their morality that they have every right to express themselves, don't they?
They have every right to do it. I'm saying it's a wholly immoral position.
According to who?
According to me.
Well, okay, well, that's just David
Silverman. Of course, it's all according to us. We all make our own moral decisions.
Yeah, I understand.
The only difference between you and me is that I take responsibility for my moral decisions, and you justify your moral decisions by finding a passage in the Bible that matches your moral decisions and saying, aha, it's objective morality.
Well, if there is no objective morality, then we have... It's even hard to talk this way because we say we have no right, but that implies a moral standard, too.
No, see, we have a societal right. Society
according
gives us the
to
right.
You or
according
to Hitler,
society
or
according to the government that we create. Yes.
Okay, well, then we had no real way to condemn the Nazis for what they did.
That's the hard answer is you're correct. The hard answer is it is a matter of opinion. The hard answer is they thought they were doing objective good. They did.
Oh, they
so
may
we condemn them as a society, but you know, we do this all the time.
Yeah, they may have thought they were doing good, but they really weren't according to a standard. But the only way you could know whether
according
they were really...
According to whose standard?
The unchanging, objective, moral standard that is God's nature.
And they did it under the name of God.
Well, there's a lot of people that... You don't judge a philosophy or a religion by its abuse, David. Jesus never said that we ought to go kill the Jews, quite obviously. He was a Jew himself. You should know that.
Yeah.
Okay? So... So because people have abused religion doesn't mean that the religion is false.
The fact that people have abused religion shows you that morality is relative. If it was objective, you couldn't abuse it.
No, you're confusing sociology and morality. Sociology is how people behave. Morality is how they ought to behave. We all ought to behave a certain way, but we fail to. By the way, that's why we need a savior.
You're clapping for that? Really?
Okay, well, then we had no real way to condemn the Nazis for what they did.
That's the hard answer is you're correct.
He's Jewish. He's Jewish. There's no way for us to really condemn the Nazis. This is where humanism gets us. And they say, you have your view and I'll have my view. And he said that the Christian couple's view was holy and moral to him. So having your view and having my view and us all getting along doesn't exist in humanism, does it? Because they make the call because they are rational and you are irrational because you believe in God, that your rationale is inferior to their rationale and they can make a judgment on your rationale as holy and moral. Why do I bring this out? Because once a humanistic government or society deems that you are irrational and a danger to society, you get the number 110 million murdered in the name of humanism. Humanism is far from a utopia as they portray it. Humanism and relative truth is spreading through America and the Western world. Do not believe our country is a Christian nation. It is no longer a Christian nation. Our country, the United States of America, a country I served for many years in uniform, that I love and I would lay my life down for, but hear me clearly. The United States of America is a humanistic, secular country. Half of our country this last election supported and voted for two candidates who classified themselves as progressive socialists with a humanistic worldview, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. In the next 10 years or sooner, it is estimated that the American public will be 70% socialists. And when you study socialism, it's humanism. The last election, whether you like it or not, whether you agreed with it or not, the last election, I fear, may mark the last couple years that we as a church of Jesus Christ, as believers, will have the freedom to share the gospel of Jesus Christ without persecution or oppression. Many are thinking, well, with this election, this was God ordained, and I'm not sure about that. As they're seeing it. But they're thinking, okay, we're going to get our country back. Our country is going to be turned to what it used to be. There's no way. You study the universities and colleges and what all these young generations are being taught to believe. This is not a time for the Christian church to relax and say, our guy won, our side won. No, I think it's an alarm, it's a call. Now maybe this has been given to us by God, giving us a couple more years, one more chance to be the church, to get the message out. Because I know humanism, secular humanism, and relative truth are on the rise in our country. And I know that they promote that what you believe is okay and what I believe is okay. But that's not the truth. The truth is, humanists try to destroy the other side every time. Let me give you some trademarks of a humanistic society. The acceptance of relative ethics or morality does away with all moral absolutes and dictates there are no limits, no values, no real standards. Let me ask you something. If that is true, if humanism is true, is rape always wrong? Church, to you, is rape always wrong? No matter what time period you live in, what people you are with, continent, doesn't matter. Is rape wrong? In humanism, you have no rights and no wrongs. So you have to agree in humanism. If the circumstances are right and the time is right, rape can be justified. There are no absolutes. An absolute truth is a truth for all people in all places and all times. But more humanism gets away from destroys all absolutes. The more a nation or a society embraces this line of reasoning, wickedness, perversion, and lawlessness becomes the norm. What do you see on TV constantly? Wickedness, perversion, lawlessness is rising in our country. In a completely secularized society, marriage is destroyed. When marriage is destroyed, families are destroyed. When the family unit is destroyed, the family unit is the foundation of all societies. And when you undermine the family unit and destroy it, a society collapses. When absolute morality is mocked, civil discourse, free speech turns into riots. What are we seeing in our country right now? And I'm not trying to be political. I'm not Republican, Democrat here. What I'm saying is the one side, the Democratic side, is vastly influenced by humanism, secularism, relative truth. And now in this country, as we try to have two sides, two-party system, one party is constantly rioting and protesting and shouting down the other side. There is no more free speech and civil discourse allowed. They riot and protest and destroy to shut down free speech. Because again, their rationale is not holy and moral like the other side's rationale. In a humanist society, when free speech and riots, free speech is lost, riots break out, people are oppressed, wars break out, and people die. Human life is devalued, and one side tries to dominate the other by stripping the rights and values of the other side. And if the opposing side does not surrender itself to the humanistic way, Well, then you can add some more numbers to 110 million. What are we to do as Christians in a humanistic, secular country? Dealing with humanism is not new. We can look to the Bible all the way back to Judges chapter 17. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So here, quickly, as I close, I want to give you just, we understand humanism. We understand that it lies about itself, presents itself as a utopia, because, and that's false because it's based on relative truth. Can't have relative truth. No such thing. I want you to understand that about humanism. But as we leave here today, I want you to understand this and these last few points, because this is the most important, how we as believers deal and live inside a humanistic culture. First and foremost, God is in complete control. Psalms chapter 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast their cords from us. We will have no God over us to tell us what to do. That's what they're saying. We will make ourselves God. Look at verse 4. He who is God sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Nothing man tries to do is going to take God by surprise. And God is in complete control. We have to always remember that. Two, we must fulfill our calling as God's people. Philippians chapter 2. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless. Children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. As light in a perverse, crooked generation. The humanists are not our enemy. The homosexual agenda is not our enemy. The socialists are not our enemy. Our enemy is not flesh and blood, but against principalities of darkness, who have many people trapped in darkness. The darkness of humanism. The darkness of relative truth. And we are to shine as light. Because God loves every humanist. But if they do not realize and turn from their humanistic ways, we are to be light. Look at verse 16. Holding fast the word of life. You got to stick with the Bible. The Bible that is been proven to us through this study that is perfectly the word of God that has proven itself time and time again. Go to the next slide, please. The manuscript, all the Bible that we know is the word of God, supernatural book. You can trust it. Even though the people attack it, you can trust it is what it says. We must have the book pulsating through us by reading it and studying it. And when the Bible and the Word of God is filling us and overflowing out of us, then we have the ability, the strength, and the courage to be the witnesses that Christ called us to be. That we can go out into the world, as in Acts 17, and we can warn the people. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men, all women, everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. There is a judgment coming. Turn from your sinful ways. Turn from your humanism. Turn from your false beliefs. There is a judgment coming. And there's only one way to escape that judgment. Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. The humanism, the humanistic teachers and leaders, they suppress the truth. And they're going to be held accountable. They need to turn. We must share the truth with them. So in conclusion of humanism, it is not reality. Humanity is not inherently good. We have a sin nature. There is none who are good. No, not one. Absolute truth does exist. Thus says the Lord. Relativism is a lie. A society collapses in on itself when they have relative truth. Don't be deceived. We must share these hard truths with our loved ones and friends, neighbors. It is what we are called to do in a perverse and lost generation.